Oh Lord, how we thank you for a church like this. We're blessed that not only do we get to attend a church, but we also get to have the unique privilege of being used by you to build that church. Most people will join a church when it's already built. We are blessed to build it, or to help build it, and to experience it all at the same time. And we're grateful to you for such an honor. And we pray that today's service will add on to the building. It will add on to the stature of the church in the realm of the Spirit. That by the time the service is through, we would have become bigger and better, stronger in the name of Jesus. We would have increased in spirit and increased in stature and increased in favor with God and increased in favor with man. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon the teaching of your word. I pray that the gift of God in me will come forth and bless your people. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Oh, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. And all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. I'll give you one more chance. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, glory. But Jesus never. Glory to his name. For the last time, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful song, amen, that I was taught when I went to Sunday school. So it's a really old song. That's why he can't play. Because because it's not, yes, what's the name of the guy? I don't want to change. I don't want to, what? Yeah, Toby Mac. Go gain the whole world. Yeah, she's not by Toby Mac. So it's not a Toby Mac generation type song. Amen. All right. So let's continue from where we left off last week. And I told you I was going to share with you 15 things that happen when you die. So turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 16. And let's read this fantastic story again. This is one of the few times that Jesus tells us exactly what or how the end is for humanity. Amen. And especially what happens after we die. Now, since death is the commonest phenomenon, since death is about the only thing that all human beings will experience, you know, not all human beings will taste marriage. Not all human beings may have a child. Not all human beings, even out of those who have children, not all of them will taste what it is like to have a son or what it is like to have a daughter. Why did I say something wrong? Ah, Elpak. She thinks I'm preaching about her. Okay. So, not all human beings will taste what it is like to attend a college. Not all human beings will get to even ever go to McDonald's. Not all human beings will drive a car they own. Not all human beings would taste what it is like to have their car paid off. You know, not all human beings will taste all these experiences. Do you see what I'm saying? So whatever experiences God has blessed you to have, be grateful. Amen. Because somebody somewhere wishes they were you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So not all human beings will have the same experience. But two experiences that are common to all humanity is the experience of being born and the experience of dying. Do you see what I'm saying? Even, those two experiences are the experiences that we all will have. Do you see? And so much as being born is followed by so much, you know, and life has advanced and human beings have become very sophisticated and have developed so much to be able to accommodate and make the most of life after birth. Similarly, it is important for human beings to also understand and prepare for life after death. Amen. So what happens to people when they die? That is what we're learning from this chapter. And Jesus powerfully told a story that perfectly demonstrates and explains what happens when people die. So let's read it again. Luke chapter 16 from verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man. Why don't we read it all together? Everybody, let's read Luke chapter 16 from verse 19, you know, to the end of the story in verse 31. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hallelujah. It is interesting that Jesus died and rose from the dead, even showing himself to the people who were with him, you know. And up to today, it is still a most controversial subject. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he was right. Father Abraham was right that it takes more than someone coming from death to come and explain, isn't it? Yeah. Actually, a living preacher perhaps is more believable than someone who says he has died and come back from the dead. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It will be harder for you to believe someone who claims that he died and came back. You see, it will be harder to believe such a person than to believe what the preacher who is here today is saying. So it is not like it's going to do anything according to Father Abraham. And in our world today, apart from us who are people of faith, you know, anytime someone has made a claim of having had an out-of-body experience or having died and come back and so on, he's surrounded by so many skeptics who actually think he's hallucinating, there's something wrong with the guy, you know, that and they try to explain away even what happened, that he never died, and that so many things. You see, and God, knowing the heart of man, is not wasting his time on trying to. Yes, we will have such experiences, and I believe that those signs are more for us who are people of faith who can believe such things. Do you understand? But as for the unbelievers, they do not believe. And so it's unfortunate. But yes, 15 things that will happen when you die. Number one, when you die, you will either go to heaven or hell. Isn't it? You will either go to heaven or hell. The rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to heaven. And it's clear in the scripture. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, isn't it? Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Amen. Yeah. The other day when we went for witnessing on Hollywood Boulevard, one guy that we spoke to, he said, as a matter of fact, I don't mind going to hell at all. Then he said, that's where the party will be. Yeah, he said that's where the party will be, because all these guys are going to be there, and we're going to have fun in that place. But obviously he has not read the Bible, you see, because the Bible says when the rich man went to hell, in hell, being in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Do you understand? Abraham told him, you are tormented, he is comforted. So it looks like the more comfortable place to spend eternity is in heaven and not in hell. So anybody who is thinking that they are going to hell to have fun, you know, is joking. Do you understand? Yeah. Even when we use the word hell, when someone is speaking and they say, I went through hell with this child. Wow. Do you think they are saying they had fun? So why would you say that you're going to have a party in hell? When even in your language, do you understand? When you are talking and describing a bad experience, that's when you use the word hell. You see what I'm saying? That I went through hell trying to get this to work. Wow. What does it mean? That you went through a very painful experience or a painful time trying to get this to work. So we are not going to go dance in hell at all if anybody was to find themselves there. No. Hell is not for dancing. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what the Bible says. If you believe anything in the Bible at all, let this be the second one. Okay. If you believe anything else already in the Bible, let this be the next thing you believe about the Bible or from the Bible, that hell is real. And you better watch out not to end up in hell. Hallelujah. The only opportunity to fix not going to hell is while you're alive. After that, it's over. Do you understand? Another person I met recently, he was, and I was trying to witness to him too, and he was telling me, as a matter of fact, I feel like we are in hell already. I honestly feel that we have already died from somewhere and we have come to hell. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying that the way there is evil in this world, the amount of evil in this world, you know, he says that he thinks that this is already hell. We are in hell. And that we must have died from somewhere and have come. So we are already experiencing the hell. And I was telling him, well, you may think you are suffering, but I know that the Bible, there are no cars in hell. There are no buildings in hell. As we are seeing all these cars and so on, it is a sign that we are not in hell yet. So you better believe that. Hallelujah. Number two, if you go to heaven when you die, angels will come and escort and carry you away from this earth into the presence of God. So if you're one of those who qualifies to go to heaven, the Bible teaches that angels will come to escort and carry you away from this earth into his presence, into God's presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That when a person departs or leaves his body, angels come and carry the person up into God's presence. Amen. Because otherwise you wonder, where is the person? How can it be that someone is with you, you're relating with him, you're talking to him, he can see you, he's laughing with you, and then in another breath, the same person is around. You can see his eyes. You can see his nose. You can see his face. You recognize him as being him. But something is missing. You see, so obviously what I'm looking at is not the person. It looks like the person lives inside here. Isn't it? The person seems to be inside there. The person seems to be inside there. You see? And now where or what happens to the person after? Where does that person go? Where is the person? How come the person cannot respond anymore? How come I call the person and they cannot respond? Even though the body is still there, the lips that spoke to me a short while ago are still there.
Wow.
But somehow something is turned off. Well, I want to suggest to you that that person has been escorted somewhere else. Because if that person was still around, he would answer your calls. If that person was still around, he would answer your call. That person is no longer around. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is like talking to someone on the phone. You know, at one moment, Paul is on the other end and we are talking. In another moment, you still have the handset, but Paul is not on it anymore. So where is Paul? Obviously, he's gone. Do you see what I'm saying? He's disconnected from the handset. That's why we can't feel Paul anymore. So in the same way, the person that we're dealing with is someone who happens to live in this body. And when you die, angels will carry that person away from that body to a place where that body can no longer respond, or that person can no longer use this body to respond to the call. Isn't it? Right. So that's number two. Number three thing that happens. If you go to hell when you die, you will be met on arrival by evil spirits and other dead people. Wow. If you go to hell when you die, you will be met on arrival by evil spirits and other dead people. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9. It says, hell from beneath. So this is how we know that hell is down.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And heaven is up. Hallelujah. Right? It says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Isn't it? Yeah. So hell has notice of your arrival time. You know, just like when you are traveling somewhere, you give your itinerary to someone on the other side. Isn't it? And they know exactly when you are coming and they arrive there to meet you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, to meet you. So I guess probably that's about the only gracious thing you're going to experience in hell. Welcome. That somebody will come and meet you on your arrival. Do you understand? Yeah, that will be the nicest experience you have, you know, in hell. That demons and other entities will come and meet you on your arrival. It says, to meet thee at thy coming, it stirreth up the dead for thee.
Wow.
Even all the chief ones of the earth,
wow,
it has raised, wow, up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. Wow. So there will be a whole entourage meeting you, a whole delegation of people, dead people, some who used to be the chief ones of this earth. They will be coming to meet you because you are arriving. But I see you not going to hell in the name of Jesus. Right. Number four. When you die, you will go downward if you're going to hell. Hell is below. Hell is beneath us. If you die, you will go downward. You will go downward. Isn't it? Yeah. Hell from the scripture we read says, hell from beneath is moved for thee. Hallelujah. Now, do you remember that the rich man had to lift up his eyes to see Abraham? He didn't have to look down from where he was to see Abraham. Isn't it? Look at it. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Isn't it? being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So it appears heaven in relation to hell is up, isn't it? And if you happen to be in hell, you have to look up to see anybody in heaven. Hallelujah. So hell is down there somewhere. Amen. All right. Number five. When you die, you will discover you have a spiritual body of a man, which the Bible refers to as the inward man. When you die, you will discover that you have an inward man, that there is actually a spiritual part of you. Do you understand? Which the Bible refers to as the inward man. Okay? Now, you remember as we read the story, Jesus was referring to different parts of the body, you know, such as the tongue, isn't it? Such as the finger. He should come and dip the tip of his finger, isn't it? And such as he lifted up his eyes, isn't it? So these are all parts of a body, isn't it? They are all parts of a body. So it looks like when a person dies, you know, you now assume a different body. I mean, you are now a different person. Do you understand? Yeah, a spiritual body that does not or cannot exist here. Do you understand? We all know that the body you have now, you leave behind. That's the one that we carry to a cemetery and go to a place like that and either cremate it or bury it or whatever we do with it. Do you see? But the real you goes beyond that experience. And you have a new body that has all these parts that can be described. Hallelujah. What do you think? Yeah. He says that he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Hallelujah. So it, even though one person or one part of you has died and has been left here, there is another part of you that is crying for all these things. So it looks like there is indeed an inner man, isn't it? The inner man. Paul referred to it as the inner man. He says the inner man or the inward man, someone, a man, a total being, a person that lives on your inside. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So a human being seems to be like a person who is wearing layers of clothing, isn't it? And you take a certain part of the clothing off because it can't go into this, but there is also the part that goes in with you. What do you think? Yeah. So what would you call this part of my jacket? You would say, what, the sleeve or something like that, isn't it? Right. Now, the sleeve is made to fit the arm. Do you see what I'm saying? So when I take the jacket off, you're going to see an arm in the form of a sleeve lying here. But I'm still gone on, perhaps into the shower, with my arm. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what you put one down here, and it looks like this is everything. But there is the inner one that has been carried further to the place where this one, or is not appropriate to bring this. How would you like to take a shower wearing your jacket? Hey, it's not going to work. Amen. You cannot go in the shower wearing your jacket like that. So for where you are going, you cannot take this with you. So you're going to leave this down here. And this part of it, I mean, there are things. So if you throw something at me or pour something on me and you pour it on my arm, I'll say you poured it on my arm. But it's really my sleeve that got it. Do you see what I'm saying? My sleeve is the one that got it. But the arm, you never really got it. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's in layers. The human being or human being is in layers. And we remove some and then we carry the rest to the next level. Hallelujah. Wow. Does it make sense to you? Right. Number six. If you go to hell when you die, you will find yourself in a prison where there's endless, unimaginable distress and torment. endless, unimaginable distress and torment. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. It says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better," say it is better. "It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." See, Jesus preached more about hell than anybody else. Do you understand? Yeah, he had a lot of things to say about hell. Now, he's trying to describe the torment in hell. And he said that having your hand cut off is better. It's a better experience. Think about it. He says, it is better for you to enter into life. Do you understand? Enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. That means it's better to go to heaven maimed. Now think about it. Again, you can see that it looks like you are going to heaven with a hand. Can you see that? That is why he's saying that it is better for you to arrive with the hand cut than to bring both hands into hell. Do you see the experience? So he says, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Amen. Never be quenched. So hell has endless torment. Now, this is what the other gentleman I spoke to the other day could not relate with. Do you understand? I told you about someone I spoke to who was saying that it's easier for him to believe in heaven, but as for hell, he cannot believe in it. You know, then he said, how is God going to put someone in hell forever? He said, what? For a couple of things? A couple of wrongdoings? I mean, you're going to put someone in hell forever? I mean, I can understand 2 or 3 years. That's cool. But he cannot understand how God can put someone into hell for 3 years. Forever. Hallelujah. So, hell is a place of torment, and you better believe the words of Jesus Christ. If you believe anything Jesus said, if you've ever believed anything Jesus said, let this one be the next one. Hallelujah. Right. Then number seven. If you go to hell when you die, you will discover a place where people scream and cry for a drop of water. You will discover a place where people scream and cry for a drop of water. So in hell, water is priceless. In hell, water is probably the scarcest commodity. In hell, there will be no water. See, now they say we're experiencing a drought in California. Do you understand? Yeah. But even within the drought, we can have water.
Oh yeah.
We still have water running in the taps. You know, we have water everywhere. Isn't it? Yeah. There is a shortage of water, yes. But according to hell, or according to the scriptures, in hell, I mean, water from the tip of someone's finger is a luxury. It's a luxury. Yeah, wow. That someone would come and dip. I mean, think of a rich man has reached a place where now he's asking for the drop of water that comes from the tip of the finger of a beggar. When a rich man often will not even like a beggar to walk past him.
Wow.
Yeah, if a beggar was following him, sometimes people give beggars things. They give them what they want, not because they want to bless them, but to get them away from coming too close to them. Yeah. So as the person is pursuing you, You take some money or whatever he wants and you give it to him. You know, sometimes you even throw it at him, you know, from a distance so he doesn't come too close. Yeah. Because a rich person is dressed nicely and he doesn't want the beggar anywhere near him or to touch his purple clothing. And, you know, he doesn't want anybody to come so close to him. So now this same person is now requesting that this beggar come and dip his dirty finger, the tip of that dirty finger, in water and cool his tongue. Hey! The conditions are adverse. It's not a good place to go to. Tell your neighbor, whatever you do, don't go to hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do not go to hell. Amen. And you better believe it. Amen. We must believe it because the scripture said so. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? He says, where their worm dieth not. All right. Now, Number eight. If you go to hell when you die, you will discover a place of unbelievable and indescribable anguish and torment. Unbelievable and indescribable anguish and torment. You know, the scripture says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented. Not I'm in pain, but I'm tormented.
Wow.
I am tormented. When is the last word you used the word, last time you used the word torment?
Wow.
To describe something you are going through. No. It's not a word we use around with ourselves. So it means most of us have not experienced a torment.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There is no experience that you have had, you know, for which the word torment seems to be the appropriate word for describing it. But once someone goes to hell, the most appropriate word becomes torment. Because the guy realized, say, I'm in pain. It doesn't capture it. You know, there's a part of my back that hurts. No, it doesn't capture it. You know, I just feel this funny pain over here. It doesn't capture it. No, he says, I'm in torment. And that is what will happen when a person goes to hell. May you not go to hell.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Right. Number nine. When you die, you will discover that many people who received good things on earth will receive evil things in hell. And many people who received evil things on earth will receive good things in heaven. Do you see that? Father Abraham said to the guy, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Hallelujah. So it looks like there was a swap. The person who was having a great time on earth suddenly is having the worst of times in hell. And the person who was experiencing the worst of times on earth is having the greatest time in heaven.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now this one is interesting because sometimes our pursuit of comfort in this world causes us to run the risk of losing the comfort that will come to us after we leave this world.
Wow.
Many people trade their eternal comfort for an earthly comfort. The believers of old, they understood it. And any time they had to swap, they chose the eternal comfort. That is how come they allowed themselves to be killed sometimes, even the way they were killed.
Wow.
Do you understand? That's why they allowed themselves to go through the torture and to go through the difficulties they went through on this earth. Because Apostle Paul said the sufferings of this world, they cannot be compared. He said the sufferings of the present time cannot be compared. You cannot compare them with the glory that is to be revealed. Do you understand? So they thought that, look, rather than enjoy here and suffer later, I will rather suffer now and enjoy for eternity. Can I have an amen? And sometimes your Christian life is like that. Your Christian life may call for you to experience suffering and experience present and current suffering, discomfort, for the sake of obtaining later glory and joy and happiness forever. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It says a lot of people who are receiving good things as it is now, the penalty for that is really that after this, they are not going to have a good time. Hallelujah. So the other thing I want to mention is that we also have to be careful not to despise people who are not experiencing good things. Amen. I tell you that Lazarus, as he lay there by the rich man's table with the dogs licking his sores and so on, he was actually ready for heaven. Make no mistake about it. The guy was in dire poverty, barely having anything to eat, but his soul was ready for heaven. That he was prepared for eternity. Do you see what I'm saying? That even though he was not having a great time, even though he was not very respected here, he was very ready for heaven. Amen. So there may be a lot of people that we may not think much of. A lot of people that we don't respect. A lot of people that we think, you know, who is this person? And we don't really care much about them. And yet within them, they have a relationship or a disposition in relation to God that makes them ready for eternity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And that we rather have to be careful not to lose our spot in heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. That was number what? So number 10. When you die, you will discover that the first shall be the last. And the last shall be the first. Do you see? You will discover that the first shall be the last. And that the last shall be the first. So in heaven, the poor man was in a better place than the rich man. There was a complete reversal of status as soon as they died. Do you see? The rich man was going down, 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 down. Lazarus was going up, 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 up. Isn't it? Yeah. The rich man was powerless. The rich man was suffering. The rich man was the one who needed water. The rich man needed help. The rich man was the one crying in pain, you know, in his need. Everything had swapped. On earth, it was Lazarus who needed help. He's the one who was crying for food. He was the one who was begging for water, clean water to drink. He was the one begging for someone to remove the dogs. He was the one, you know, hoping that something will come around, something will change. He was the one appealing, is there any possible to do anything to alleviate this suffering a little bit? That was the rich man's, the poor man's cry. That was Lazarus' cry. You know? But now, as things have reversed, he is experiencing something else altogether. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is the one who said the first will be last and last will be first. Yeah. Do you get it? And yet, you can see how this story nicely illustrates it. Amen. So we need to watch out. Amen. Number 11, when you die, your circumstances will change radically. When you die, your circumstances will change radically. Wow. If you were a rich man who used to send people on errands, you will no longer be able to do that. Yeah, so you better send as many people as you can right now, because that may change that. If you go to hell, it may not be easy for you. Hallelujah. It may not be easy for you at all. Everything will just change. And he said unto Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, Father Abraham said, not so. No, you cannot do that. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Nobody can come here. Hallelujah. Right. Number 12. When you die, you will remember everything that happened on earth. Wow, that's a scary one. When you die, you will remember everything that happened on earth. It is scary because you will remember the opportunities you had. Do you understand? You will remember the messages you had. You will remember the chances you were given. You will remember your sins. Isn't it? You will remember the altar calls. You know? And you will wish you had lived your life with the reality of heaven and hell always on your heart. When you die, you will remember. You will remember. Do you see what I'm saying? Is it not the case that often when you leave something, when you leave or when an opportunity is gone, and you come into a new circumstance, it causes the opportunity you lost to come alive?
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
It's true.
Let me give you an example. Sometimes you go to a party, and there's a lot of food. A lot of food, and you really don't eat much. Then you go home. Do you see? And then that's usually on Sunday after church, you know. Then you go home, and then Monday afternoon sometime, when you start to feel hungry, you don't even have to recollect yesterday, that Sunday. It just seems to come forcefully to you that, wow, yesterday was a day of opportunity. Is it not true?
Yeah.
You start to see, nobody has to even remind you. Nobody has to tell you, do you remember yesterday you had food? And then you're going to think, oh, yeah, true, true. No, it doesn't happen. But you'll be there, and then you start to get flashes and pictures of yesterday's food. You know, and it is because of your new circumstance. Your new circumstance is forced you to remember that actually when that person passed by with the chicken and offered it to you, it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity. At the time, it looked like a bother. It looked like a bother. Yeah. But you wouldn't know that it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity. Yes. It was an opportunity. It's like when people have a chance to study and they do not study, and then they grow up. And then they start to hustle. Suddenly they realize that all of that was an opportunity. It was an opportunity. Nobody even has to tell them anything. I once met one of my classmates. He was such a bad boy when we were in high school. I mean, boarding school. You know, he would collect his school fees, the tuition or boarding, whatever that we paid then, school fees. He would collect the money. Because his parents were divorced, and the parents hated each other still, you know. See, divorce doesn't really solve hatred. It just creates a separation. Wow. But hatred doesn't need you to be together to exist. So even when you divorce, you don't get rid of the hatred and the resentment. Do you understand? Yeah, and if you're going to have the hatred anyway, then you might as well live together. You see what I'm saying? Yeah? So his parents could not stand each other at all. And his father would give him the school fees, do you see, at the beginning of the term. The boy would bring it to school and he would spend it. I mean, he would take everybody out to parties, different things. They'll just blow all the school fees. Then he's going to go back to his father and ask for school fees again. Then his father will get angry and tell him, but I gave you school fees and what have you done with it? Then the boy will say, it's okay, I'm going to ask my mother. And as soon as he says he's going to ask his mother, his father will then start coughing up the money, because the father doesn't want him to go to that woman. Do you understand? Yeah. Then he will get the second one from his father and spend it. Then he'll go to his mother also and collect the school fees. You see, And then the mother is going to rain insults on him. And then the boy will say, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. All right, I'm going to my father. Then she'll say, come here. And she'll give the money. He told me this himself, that this is what he used to do. You know, and of course, somebody who has such a lifestyle, in the end, he became nothing. Do you understand? Doesn't have a job. One time I met him and he was begging me for a handout, you know. And when we were in boarding school, I was very little and he was like a tall, big guy. And I was just looking at this big guy that I looked up to and begging me for a little something just to buy food to eat. Do you understand? You see, suddenly he realizes that that time was an opportunity. But opportunities are such that they do not cry out to you when you are in them. Opportunity does not announce itself. As you are here today, it's an opportunity. You have to be in another situation to realize that what you have now is actually an opportunity. Amen. That we have church, we get to go to church 2 times on a Sunday, you know, and many opportunities look like a bother. They look like a bother. You know, an opportunity, it looks like a bother. You are doing something and someone is talking to you. You are someone is advising you. It's an opportunity. Even for someone to advise you, but you may not see it. Most opportunity feels like a bother. It looks like they are just bothering you. But you see, one day it's going to come in your life. You wish someone would tell you something. You wish someone would tell you something. Look, sometimes the most painful thing, I've seen people lament and they are crying and saying, why didn't anybody tell me? So why didn't anybody tell me? They are so bitter that nobody told them. It's like, why? Even I know someone who was angry with their parents. They felt that their lives have been destroyed because their parents were too lenient with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? The person felt that you could have been stricter on me. And so now the person is turned around and is accusing the parents and is bitter and feels that you gave me too much chance and you gave me too much opportunity. You could have been more strict on me. And now he hates his parents for that. It's like they allowed me to destroy my life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because one of the things about life is that by the time you get to know that something is wrong and it has really affected you, it's too late to fix it. Have you written an exam before and then after you go and you check your notes? Do you understand? You realize what you did wrong. Yeah. But it is only after the paper is gone. Yeah. 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 That is how it is. So you will get to know it. You will get to know it. You will find out that you are actually in opportunity. But by the time you see the thing, you agree with it, but the opportunity to fix it is gone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we are right now in opportunity to be able to preach to people, to be able to have church multiple times, to come up, down, drive, go visit this, that, because it won't be there forever. Can you not think of some things that were an opportunity for you, which are no longer there? Can you not think of some things you used to do before that you cannot do anymore? It's an opportunity. Do you understand? A time is going to come, you will see that some of the things that you are being begged to do, nobody's going to beg you to do those things anymore. Even the chance to do them, you will not have them. You may even want to pay someone to give you the chance, and you will not have it. So be careful. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, be careful. Hallelujah. It's an opportunity. Opportunity for correction, opportunity for instruction, opportunity for someone to guide you, someone to show you what to do. By the time you even realize it matters, you get it, whatever they are talking to you about, by the time you realize it matters, it's already done its destructive thing already. In fact, it is because of its destructive effect that you know that it actually mattered. it will be too late. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's not despise opportunity. Amen. Amen. You will remember. You remember all the preaching. You will remember. You remember the people that spoke to you. Because he said to him, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. Wow. And the rich man didn't say, what are you talking about? The rich man didn't ask when. He knew what Abraham was saying. And Abraham said to him, remember, you in your lifetime, you had good things. And the guy was quiet. You must be right. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, he says, now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Do you see? Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Hallelujah. So we will remember once you die. Then the next one, number 13. We're almost done. When you die, you will discover that there is a big gap between heaven and hell. People cannot cross over from heaven to hell. And people cannot cross over from hell to heaven. No matter who you are, no matter how much money you had on earth, you see, you cannot cross over from heaven, from hell to heaven. Do you understand? Yes. If you must cross over from hell to heaven, here is the place for that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. In life, we see so many things like that all the time. Where once you pass a certain place, you can't cross over. Is it not true? Yeah, you can't cross over at this side. You can, even though you can see, I'm standing here and I can see you over there. But the only way I can come to you is I have to go back and then start. Wow. But that's what we do not have. Wow. We do not have the privilege of coming back and then adjusting, living a better life and going again. We don't have that chance. So it's just one way. Once you go this way and find out you're wrong, too bad for you. Hallelujah. So let's be careful. There's a big gap. And I know that God knows that human beings are notorious. They like to have ways and means all the time. So he knew that there will be some people trying to organize a bridge. Yeah. There are some people who try to organize, especially Americans who built all these fantastic bridges. They knew that, look, these bridges, they may easily come to heaven and they'll be trying to see if they can connect and to do import-export business and trying to ship things over. And so the gap is really wide. There's no bridge that can cross it. Number next. Hallelujah. The next, it says there is a great gulf fixed that so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Number 14, when you die, you will discover the importance of evangelists who go all over the world preaching the gospel. When you die, you will discover the importance of evangelism. The importance of someone going about to share the gospel with another person. You will discover the importance of even you, what you are doing now, which is when we go on outreach, which looks like some of the most difficult, feeble. I mean, the whole thing looks so some way, isn't it? When you are talking to people and everybody is shooing you off and nobody is minding you and you look like someone who's got a disease that everyone is avoiding. And people look down on you and it looks like what you're doing is not important. But when you die, you will discover that that was actually the most important thing. You will discover the value of going from door to door, person to person. You will discover all these little outreaches we have, going to the mall, talking to people, trying to meet people. They don't mind us, all these things. You will discover that actually you are doing the greatest thing. Because in death, the rich man found that to be the most important thing. When he had one wish that I can just, if you could grant one wish for me in death, That wish is that somebody should go and evangelize my brothers. Wow! Not someone should give them a job. Not someone should get them a beloved. Not someone should help them to get married. Not someone should, you know, give them a house or anything like that. Not even that they will be healthy. Because you would have thought that the rich man, having died, may have died from some disease or whatever, and having the opportunity, would wish that someone would go and touch their brothers with a magic wand or magic something so that they will never die. But that's not what the rich man wanted. The rich man wanted them to be converted. Yeah. He could have wished that they do not die at all. Because if they don't die, then they won't come to hell. Yeah. But no, he didn't want that. What he wanted was for them to fix what is wrong with them, which is the evangelism. Evangelizing the world is important. Going about telling people about Christ is important. It may not feel good. It may not be a nice experience when people are turning you down and people are treating you like you have nothing important, that you are just somebody out there who doesn't have anything to do. And that is why you're wasting your time on Saturday afternoon coming around to talk to them. Even though that's how it may seem. That's how it may be presented. And yet you are doing the most important thing. If they were to die, they would thank you. If they were to die, they would thank you. They don't even have to die. On their deathbed, just on their way to dying, they will begin to thank you. Most people, when they are dying, they want to see a pastor. They want to see a preacher. They want somebody to pray for them. Even there are people who want pastors to pray for their departed ones. The person is dead and gone. You want the pastor to pray for them. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, why is a pastor useful at a funeral? When the person is dead, then the next thing they want is a priest to come. Why must it be a priest to see the body off? Have you thought about it? Why must it be a priest? Why not the doctor? Why don't doctors bury people? Like if you die, then they hand you over your body to a doctor. Huh? Lord, you are a doctor. You tell us, why don't you? Wendy, you guys are doctors. Tell us, when people die, after all, you have such a high interest in them before they die. Do you see? So after they die, why do you bring them to us? Do you see what I'm saying? Wow. Yeah. But people want that because they believe that at that point, something. Maybe the priest can do something that can help to alter this person's eternal destiny or something. I don't know. Pray for his soul, they say. Pray for his soul as it goes on this journey, that it will be received into eternal rest or, you know, whatever. Do you understand? And you see. Yeah, and I found myself in one or two of those situations. It's a very difficult prayer to pray. Because you don't know what to pray for. But that prayer can only be for those who are remaining. As for the guy laying there, he's gone. His chance is finished. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. Then the last one. Right? That's number what? 15. When you die, you will only care about people not going to hell. You will only care about people not going to hell. Number 14 is that you will discover the importance of people going around and preaching in the world, isn't it? Verse 27, it says, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. This is important. Somebody must go and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place. Abraham said to him, they already have somebody. He's let them hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham, if someone goes from here to them, they will repent. I mean, the person can see that it is important for someone to go to them, that people don't change on their own. Somebody must go to them. The rich man is campaigning and say, look, please, don't do anything, but let somebody go to them. Somebody must go to them. It is an important thing. Hallelujah. And he said, I pray thee therefore that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Amen. So you will care about hell. And that only. Nothing else. You will not be in hell caring about how your children are doing. You know, your only interest in anybody is whether they are coming to the same place as you or not. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you see how when someone is sick, they suddenly lose interest in so many things? Even just being ill. Sometimes when you're ill, you don't even want them. Some people want you to get well. They make your favorite dish for you when you're ill. And you don't even want to look at it. Do you see? You don't even want to look at it. You can't even believe this is you. Do you see? Sometimes that's how they know you're really sick. When they give you the thing that gets you up all the time. And they give it to you and you don't even want to look at it. They say, look, call a doctor. This is pretty serious. Do you see? This is really serious because the guy has seen his favorite dish and he will not wake up. Hallelujah. So when you die and you are in hell, you will lose interest in everything else. You lose interest in houses, cars, buildings, traveling and dressing up and all these things. You lose interest in all of them. No time for makeup, do your hair, all these things. You not, even when you are sick, you don't have interest in all these things. Hallelujah. So let's be careful. Amen. 15 things that happen when people die. Number one is what? You either go to heaven or hell. Number two, angels will escort you, isn't it? Number three, you will be met on arrival. Number four, you go downward if you're going to hell. And number five, that you have a spiritual body, isn't it? Of a man. Then number six, endless pain and distress. Number seven, a place where people scream and cry for a drop of water. Amen. I mean, if you think you know places, none of these photos they show us of famine in Africa and so on can compare with what is going on in hell. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Number what? Seven? Number eight. Unbelievable and indescribable anguish and torment. Number nine. They receive good things on earth, evil things on earth, and others will receive what? Wow. That is a fantastic status change. Number 10. First will be last, last will be first. Number 11. Your circumstances will change radically. Then number 12. You will remember everything that happened on earth. Then number 13. Big gap between heaven and hell. And people cannot cross over. Eish. No bridges, isn't it? Yeah, we built them here. There's a San Mateo Bridge, San Francisco Bridge, Verrazano Bridge, George Washington Bridge. All those things are for here. You cannot make a George Washington Bridge and try to cross over. It's not going to work. Amen. Number 14. Evangelists who go all over the world preaching the gospel. You will discover the importance of outreach. Yeah. that when they say we are going out to preach, it is a very important thing. It's a very important event. And we must not be discouraged and we must never stop. Amen. Then number 15, you will only care about people not going to hell. Your greatest care will be that no one should go to hell. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Wow. Let us pray. Just everybody bow your heads and just pray that you will make the most of the opportunity you have now. You have to believe that you are a person in opportunity. Opportunities ranging from being healthy, being alive, being here, having a church to attend, having a church that gives you something to do, a church that gives you a chance to be part of it, to participate and to be involved in something. See, sometimes you may even get tired and exhausted from doing that thing, but don't let the exhaustion deceive you. It is your greatest opportunity. The Bible says when people die in the Lord, the next thing that matters is their works. It said, blessed are they which die in the Lord. They have ceased from their labors and their works follow them. The works follow them. We are in opportunity. We are in opportunity. Everything around us is an opportunity. Having someone to speak to you is an opportunity. Having someone tell you what you are doing wrong is an opportunity. Having someone tell you how you could get better is an opportunity. Having someone rebuke you, even yell at you, is an opportunity. It is an opportunity. One day, you will be looking for these opportunities. Or one day, circumstances will so change that nobody will have to tell you that that was an opportunity you had. Don't let your opportunities pass you by before you recognize them as such. I want you to pray. Take a moment and pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me not to lose my opportunities, especially the opportunities to share Christ with people. I realize that evangelism is important. Someone going out of his way to talk to people he doesn't know, people who are not connected to him in any way. The rich man said, send somebody. I don't even care who you send. Says, send Lazarus. You just send Lazarus. Let him go and talk to my brothers. Whether he's my brother's friend or not doesn't matter. Whether my brothers know him or not doesn't matter. All that matters is somebody, even a stranger will do. Someone to just go to my brothers and talk to them. That is how you will talk when you die. You will begin to see the importance of evangelism. But you don't have to die to see it. You don't have to die to see it. Right now, you can recognize that it is important that you open your mouth and speak to the next person about Christ. And pray for them that salvation will come to them. It's important. The rich man wished someone would be praying for his brothers. That is the cry of all dead people. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are grateful today for the opportunity you have given us. We pray, O God, that you help us to see this great opportunity. The opportunity of being alive, opportunity of being free, the opportunity of even being free to practice our religion, to have as many services in one day as we want, that there is nothing that stops us, is an opportunity. An opportunity for someone to advise us, someone to encourage us, to read our Bibles, to pray every day. That it is an opportunity, it's a chance. May we not be too young or too immature to appreciate and see these opportunities. Oh God, help us, please. in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing and for giving us so many opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may be seated.